All right. Well, that's kicking off tomorrow, and it'll be pretty exciting around here to have another week filled with kids running around this campus. Hey, if you're here for the first time, thanks so much for being here at Crossline. We really appreciate it. A couple of things that we like to say about our church is this is a safe place to hear a life-changing message. This is a place where you can ask questions, where you can be yourself. It's a place where you can be in your own journey with the Lord. But the great news about the gospel is it changes our lives. God forgives our sins. He gives us a do-over. He rescues us out of whatever life situation we've been in. He gives us the promise of a love relationship with Him and the hope of heaven. It literally changes our lives. Another thing we say about Crossline here is that everybody's on a spiritual journey. So wherever you may be, this might be the first time you've ever been in a church in your entire life. I talked to a guy this past week, and guess where I talked to him? In the jacuzzi. That's right. I'd worked out, it wasn't really a workout, but I walked into the gym for a little bit. And I was sitting in the jacuzzi, I got into a conversation with a guy. He'd never been to church in his entire life, ever. So I invited him to Crossline, shared my story with him, and it just struck me that we want to be the kind of church that engages people like that. So if that's you, thanks so much for being here. On the other hand, you may be someone like Dave from the very earliest memories. You were part of church and part of faith and learning even from your parents what it meant to be a follower of Christ. Wherever you are on that spiritual journey, God this morning has a next step for you. And we're in a series called Songs from the Heart. And we're talking about the book of Psalms and how they actually connect with our hearts. They were written as songs to be sung as part of the worship. And God worked through the lives of the psalmists to kind of write out the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. So they connect with us emotionally and in terms of our life experience, and they help us come back to this focus of seeing God at the very center of our lives. So we talked about Psalm 103, which is a song of praise and affirmation and remembrance. Last week, we talked about Psalm 51, which is a song of confession and forgiveness. And today, we're looking at Psalm 37, which is a song of promise and commitment. This psalm is written like the book of Proverbs because it's written in what we would call anecdotally. The writer is King David, and he's writing it towards the end of his life, because he even says in here, I've been young and now I'm old. And then he reflects back on what he's observed over his life. One of the things about proverbial statements, like the book of Proverbs and certain psalms, is they're what we call truisms. They're what is generally true or most of the time true. But there's always exceptions. Life isn't always just black or white. Have you noticed that? Sometimes there's gray. The Christian life isn't always A plus B equals C. You just do A and you do B and you're guaranteed C. Sometimes there's more at play that we don't always understand, and that's why we live by faith. But generally speaking, what the psalmist says in Psalm 37 is true. And what he says is there's a covenant relationship that God established with us. And that's why I brought up this hula hoop. I picked this up from our children's, I'm not going to do the hula hoop up here, but I picked this up from our children's ministry. When I picked it up, I asked our children's director, Nancy Matosi, and I said, are hula hoops getting smaller or am I just getting bigger? I'm not really sure. So anyway, think about this hula hoop as a covenant, a promise that God makes, a promise of blessing, and a direction for how to experience the blessing. If you do this, then I'll do this. So everything in the covenant is what God promises and what God commands. And God says if you'll follow the commands, He'll fulfill the promise. And so if you're in the covenant, you can ask God to fulfill the promise. Because if you're in the covenant, you're doing what God's called you to do, and you can fully expect God to do what He's promised to do. If you're outside the covenant, you have no right to expect God to do in your life what you want Him to do because you're outside the covenant. But if you get inside the covenant, that is, you do what God tells you to do, then God promises He's going to do what He's going to do because you've done what He's called you to do. It's a covenantal relationship. If you do this, then I'll do this. And that's what this psalm, Psalm 37, is all about. It's about the blessed life. And let me tell you, I can say this confidently. God wants to bless your life. It's His nature. He loves you. He delights in giving good gifts to His children. He has blessings for everyone who will call upon Him and follow Him and put Him at the very center of their life. But it takes faith. And that's why one of the great Proverbs, Proverbs 3, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight." So Psalm 37 is this covenantal psalm. It is a song of promise and commitment. So what does God promise? What does He promise? Psalm 37:4, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Do you know God wants to fulfill our holy desires? God wants to give us the deep longings of our hearts. God wants to provide for every one of us those holy prayers that we pray. When we pray according to God's will, when we cry out and want what God wants for our lives, when we align our hearts with God's heart, God wants to fulfill and give us what it is that we actually desire. Jesus says on several occasions that God delights in giving good gifts to His children. Well, what else is part of God's promise of blessing? It says in Psalm 37, 5 and 6, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn and your vindication like the noonday sun." God will make our righteous reward shine like the noonday, like the dawn, and will cause our reward to shine like the sun. In other words, God is saying He wants to pour His righteousness on our lives and His vindication on our lives. Have you ever felt that you were wrongly accused of something? Have you ever felt that people were perceiving you in an inaccurate way? Have you ever felt that you were being unjustly treated? God says, part of my promise is I want to vindicate you. And I want to pour my righteousness on you. And in fact, I want it to shine. And God says that the imagery that I could compare that to is like when the dawn breaks in the morning and when the sun is at its brightest in the afternoon. That's the way I want my righteousness and my vindication to come into your life. It's part of the covenant. It's part of what God promises. In verse 11, it says, "The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." God wants us to inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. This phrase, "inherit the land," I think it's repeated five times in Psalm 37. It's actually something that He obviously emphasizes. And for the Old Testament worshiper, that meant something very significant because the land was part of the Abrahamic blessing. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God spoke to Abraham and chose Abraham out of all the people on the planet and said, I want to bless you and I want to make you a blessing and I want to give you an inheritance and I want to bring you into a land. And so the land for the people of Israel was very significant to the very core foundation of their being chosen by God. You see, a land represents a home, a place. It represents security. It represents an ultimate place of rest. And so from a larger perspective, inheriting the land means we're coming to a place where God desires to take us. We're coming home. And ultimately, for the believer, that's heaven. There's a fulfillment of the place that God wants to bring us. God says we're going to inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. God wants to give us inner peace and make our lives prosperous, flourishing, and fruitful. It's part of the covenant. And when we're inside the covenant, It's part of what we can expect God to do in terms of blessing our lives. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 23 and 24, the Lord will make firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God says that he's going to make our steps firm, and even if we stumble, we won't fall, because the Lord himself will uphold us. I like the way that's phrased, because it gives me this picture of a parent with a child. So you get, and you're walking with your child, and they may fall down, but you still got a hold of them. And you can lift them right back up. And that's what God says to us, that we may stumble at times in life. Let me just show a hand. How many of you here have ever stumbled in any way, shape, or form in their life? Yeah. But what God promises is we'll not fall, for the Lord will uphold us. God will make our steps firm, and even if we stumble, the Lord himself will hold on to us. The Lord promises to make our steps firm. So, you know, sometimes I think if you're like me, you're moving into the future and the unknown, you're kind of, you're stepping like this. God says he's going to make our steps firm, and he's going to hold on to us. Verse 25 and 26 says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely, and their children will be a blessing. Part of the covenant, the promise of God, part of, if we're in it, we can expect God to deliver, because God is who he says he is, and God's going to do what he promises to do. Part of that is that we're not going to be forsaken, and we're going to have the resources to be generous, and our children will be a blessing. God will never forsake us. Never forsake us. Dave, I see you here. Would you come up here? I need a volunteer from the audience. So, let's get over here in the light. Now, grab onto my forearm and don't let go, no matter what. Okay. So, when we come into a relationship with God, whether we're young person, or for me, I was 16 years old when I invited Jesus into my life, or you may be 30, 40, 50, it doesn't matter, whatever age you are in your own life journey, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you grab onto Jesus, and Jesus grabs onto you. So now, you get to be Jesus in this illustration, Dave. So you've grabbed onto me, and I've grabbed onto you. Remember what I told you, don't let go. Now life. Life has a way at times, doesn't it, of causing us to let go. And sometimes we think because we let go of God, we think God let go of us. But what God promises is, I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm not going to forsake you, and God never lets us go. Once we hold on to God, and he holds on to us, he never lets us go. And as we looked last week in Psalm 51, that the reestablishment, if we've let go of God, is as simple as confessing our sins, because the Bible promises if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But even in times of wandering and struggle and living the life of the prodigal son, if we have really grabbed onto God, he's grabbed onto us, and he will never, ever let us go. Thank you. Yeah. So he says, you'll not be forsaken, and you'll have resources to be generous, and your children will be a blessing. Last week we had baby dedications, and I think, gosh, we had like 12 kids here in the first service, and we had another baby we dedicated in the second service. See, all of those children matter to God. Our children matter God. God's love for us is for us and for our families, for our children. And part of the covenant is we can claim that. You kind of alluded to a verse, Dave, earlier when you're talking about your parents and how they passed their faith on to you. It's from the book of Proverbs. Train up a child in the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not depart from it. They may wander. They may go through times. I wandered. You know, this is just us folks. How many would say in your spiritual journey, as a Christ follower, at sometimes you wandered a little bit? Yeah, look, every one of us. But God says, part of this covenant, this blessing, is for us and for our children. They're going to be a blessing. Verse 34, hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. And when the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. God says you will inherit the land and experience his plan for your future. God has a future for us. Jeremiah 29, I know the plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. It's all part of the covenant. Verse 39, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He's their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Here's a seventh aspect of this blessing that God promises that's in the covenant. You will experience the salvation and deliverance of the Lord. He'll be your stronghold in trouble. Here, inside here, salvation, deliverance, which by the way, if God says he's going to deliver you, what do you got to go through in order to get delivered? Some pain, some struggle, some heartache, some difficulty. See, this isn't pie in the sky by and by, but it's a promise of deliverance, salvation, help, refuge. And again, the promise of refuge is meaningful when everything around you is falling apart. The promise of refuge is meaningful when what it looks like you're dealing with is struggle and defeat and opposition and conflict. But in the covenant, because God is faithful, what God promises is salvation and deliverance and help and a stronghold. So that's God's covenant promise for us. There is a promise of blessing, and God says there's a strategy for us to actually step into the covenant. We don't get it automatically. If we're living out here, that's just a promise that it has no impact on our lives. The only way that promise can be real for us is we got to be living in here. So, I mean, I'm just thinking like, wow. If God could tell me how I could live in here, that'd be awesome. If God could tell me how I could actually live in here and stay in here, that'd be fantastic. And you know what? That's exactly what God does. He gives us a strategy for spiritual success, a strategy for stepping into the covenant, a strategy for saying, if you'll do this, then all these things that I just promised, I'll do that for you. So what is it? Out of Psalm 37, God's strategy for success. He says, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. Don't fret or be envious of the wicked. That command, don't fret, is literally, don't get hot. We'd probably say, don't get hot and bothered. Don't get all worked up. Don't look around at other people and think they're getting more blessed than me, and they don't even have a faith, or they're getting more blessed than me. And do you know what kind of person they are? And then let that self work you up, because if you let that work, if you fret, you're not inside the covenant. See, if you get all worked up and all hot and bothered about what's going on in other people's lives, it's going to rob you of what God wants to do in your life. I was listening to a podcast in one of my favorite preachers the other day, and he was saying, You know, people always want to come up to me and ask me what I think about so-and-so, this other preacher, or this ministry, or this church, or that. He goes, if anybody does that with you, let me tell you something easy you can do. He goes, when they come up and tell me, what do you think about, fill in the blank, I just say, I don't. And if they say, what do you mean? I say, I don't think about that. And if they say, what do you mean? I go, hey, listen, I got enough on my plate to make sure I'm walking with Jesus personally every day. Not to worry about what's going on in other people's lives. Isn't that good? See, because when we fret, we get all hot. We get all bothered. We start talking about it. And then all that does, that comparison, all that does is make us either feel inferior. How come I'm not getting blessed like so-and-so? Or it makes us feel superior. Yes. God's pretty lucky to have me on his side. I ought to write a book on humility. See, that robs us of the covenant blessing. Don't fret or be envious of the wicked. Psalm 37 goes on, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Trust in the Lord and do good. See, keep your eyes fixed on God himself. I love that passage in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, laying aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. The author and the perfecter of our faith. If you try to run a race and you fix your eyes on all the other people running a race with you, you can stumble and fall. You got to fix your eyes on Jesus, every one of us. Trust in the Lord and do good. It's such a simple little command, but it's so powerful and so practical. So every day, what's the good I can do today? What's the good I can do with my spouse? What's the good I can do with my kids? What's the good I can do with my neighbor? And if you remember back when we studied the book of Ephesians not too long ago, in Ephesians 2:10, it says that people who've stepped into the covenant, who've asked Jesus into their life, who've come into a relationship with God, it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should do. God has good works already prepared for us. So every day I can get up and say, what's the good I can do today? And it's all part of living in this covenant. I'm trusting the Lord and I'm seeking to do good. I'm trusting in the Lord and I'm seeking to do good. That is the path to stay in the covenant so I can expect God to do what he's promised to do. Verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Boy, this is a great prayer promise. This is a scripture you ought to memorize. Let me encourage every person here to memorize this scripture. Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. God's part to give us the desires of our heart. Our part, take delight in the Lord. Cultivate a love relationship with Jesus. See Jesus as not only your Savior, but as your best friend, your helper, your closest companion, your true vine. John 15 talks about that. You know, I'm the true vine. My Father's the gardener, and you're the branch. Jesus is the true vine that is the source of every spiritual need that we have. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Take delight in the Lord. Cherish Jesus. Cherish his promises. Cherish his commands. Cherish the path of life. Review all of his blessings in your life. Give thanks for everything that God has given to you. Take time. Just take out a piece of paper. Start writing them down. What are all the blessings, the spiritual blessings, the personal blessings, the answered prayer? Be proactive. To delight in the Lord. See, that's being in here Because in here are all of God's promises, but also in here is God's strategy, God's plan for success, God's game plan for me to actually experience everything that God wants to do in my life, which is delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. Part of being in a covenant is committing my way to the Lord. So, asking God for guidance. Going to His Word and discovering what it is He wants to do in my life. Putting Him first in each of my decisions. There's this little book that maybe some of you have read. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it uses the illustration of you come into a house, and there's all these different rooms. So the author used that illustration like when you cross the line and become a follower of Jesus, you invite Jesus into your home. But Jesus doesn't want to just stand in the entryway. He wants to go in the living room, and he wants to go in the kitchen, and he wants to go in the bathroom, and he wants to go in the bedroom, and he wants to go into every room. Committing your way to the Lord is letting Jesus be a part of every decision, being a part of every desire and longing and priority in your life. It's doing what He says over in the Sermon on the Mount, to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Commit your way to the Lord, because if you don't commit your way to the Lord, you're standing outside this covenant, and it doesn't matter all these promises, they're not accessible to you because you're not in the covenant. They become yours when you step into the covenant. If you do this, then I'll do this. See, God's making it really clear. This is something we can really do. I love this about the Lord. He's not holding it out to like guesswork. He's actually saying, here's something you can do. And if you'll follow me and put me first and commit your way to the Lord, then I will deliver on all my promises. Verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Be still before the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Personally, I think this is the hardest command in this entire psalm. Be still and wait patiently. Because waiting takes tremendous effort. See, that sounds like an oxymoron. No, waiting takes tremendous effort. It takes tremendous faith. Because if you're like me, I pray about something, and I think I discover God's will, and I commit it to the Lord, and if I don't see immediate results, you know what I want to do? I want to step in and try to fix it. And God says, my time isn't your time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. So sometimes the most difficult thing to do being in the covenant is delighting myself in the Lord and trusting in the Lord and committing my way to the Lord and hoping in the Lord, but then waiting. Holy waiting. It's part of being in the covenant, because if I get frustrated and then I step out and start taking matters into my own hands, and then I try to solve whatever problem it is that's in front of me that I am having a difficult time waiting on, I'm no longer in the covenant, and I no longer have a right to claim the promise. Be still before the Lord and wait. In 2 Chronicles 20, there's a story of King Jehoshaphat, who was a good king. And he gets word that three nations with all of their armies are invading to attack him. Any one of them would have been a difficult battle, but all three? And so Jehoshaphat calls a fast for all the people and prayer to say, God, this is bigger than we can handle. We don't know what to do. He calls a fast, and in the midst of that prayer and fasting, a prophet speaks and says, this isn't your battle to fight. God is going to fight this battle for you. So rather than worrying, you should be worshiping. And so Jehoshaphat calls all of his army together, and then he puts all the worship leaders in front of the army, and he has the army go take up positions, but he says, don't fight, just worship. And so the worship leaders pray and call all the soldiers to pray and to worship, and when the three invading armies came upon them, they start fighting themselves, and they completely annihilated themselves, and none of the soldiers had to do even one thing by way of battle involvement. All they did is pray and worship, and God gave them a complete victory. See, waiting is hard stuff. But God says it's part of being here in the covenant. Don't take matters in your own hand. Commit your way to the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Seek the Lord. Put Him first. Trust in the Lord. And wait and let Him provide the deliverance. Verses 7 and 8 says, do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. Again, this is this whole idea about getting hot, but he says, not only should you not get hot, but refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Don't ever act out of anger, frustration, and rage. Even if what you're doing is what you think is a righteous action. Because James says in James 1, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I don't know about you, but when I get angry, I was just talking to my wife Dawn about this just the other day. When I get angry about something, even if it's like a legitimate frustration or whether it's pushing on something that's kind of unresolved in my own life, but when that feeling of anger comes, I don't think right. I don't have my best thoughts. I don't have my best words coming out of my mouth. I don't have my best behavior. Far better to just surrender that to God, ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, calm down, allow the scriptures to renew my mind, allow myself to get some wisdom and some perspective on it, and then act. See, because if I'm filled with anger and wrath, I'm not here in this covenant. Psalm 37 is talking all about, if you do this, then I'll do this. And God makes some promise, and then he gives a strategy for success. He says in verse 27, turn from evil and do good, and then you will dwell in the land forever. Turn from evil and do good. Do a 180 from evil. So here, this is one of those easy peasy kind of things. Inside this covenant, evil is not an option. Paying back evil for evil, insult for insult, sin for sin, not an option. Acting out of the flesh, not an option. Doing just what the world says to do, not an option. Just take it off the table. Do a full 180 repentance, turn from that, and instead do good, because that's what's part of this covenant experience. Wraps up this psalm, verse 34. Hope in the Lord, keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. Put your hope in God. Put your trust in God. Expect God to be God. Worship God for who he is. Give thanks to him. Think about his attributes, his qualities. Earlier in his service, we were speaking them out. Do that in your own personal prayer life. Give thanks to God. Hope in God. Trust in God. Expect God to do what he promises to do and keep his way. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. God has a way. And it's always the way into this covenant. And inside here, see, inside here, when we trust in the Lord, when we commit our way to the Lord, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we hope in the Lord, when we turn from anger and wrath, inside here, when we do good, God promises He's going to give us the desires of our heart. God promises we're going to inherit the land. God promises that He's going to give us peace and prosperity. God promises that He's going to deliver us and be our stronghold and be our help. God promises that He's going to give us resources to be a blessing and to be generous. God promises to bless our children here. And we can do this. We can do this. God wants to bless every person here. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's trust in the Lord. Father, I pray that You'd speak to us here this morning. Wherever we are in the spiritual journey, may we step into Your covenant. May we take You at Your word. May we say, yes, Lord, yes. May we experience what You have for us. And may we turn from evil. May we trust in the Lord. May we do good. May we commit our way to the Lord. May we delight ourselves in the Lord. Jesus, You're such an awesome Savior. You give us such great promises. May we turn to You, run after You, trust in You, and fix our hope in You. I pray for any person here today who's never done that before today, say, Jesus, I trust in You. And I pray for every one of us, wherever we are in the spiritual journey, that we take that next step into Your covenant. In Jesus' name, amen.